You know, we're on this new series called Reframing. Reframing, okay? Reframing. Do we have that? Yeah, there it is. Reframe. Reframing. And it's like it's like changing our thinking, okay? And, you know, changing our thinking is very hard to do, especially as we get older. You know, we get stuck in our ways, okay? We really get, and we resist change. But no, how many know that God changes? He changes things. We say he never changes, but things are always changing in the kingdom. You know what I mean? The way we do church, and we're in the middle of what I see as a revival or a reformation. Some people call it a reformation. They're calling this the Great Reformation, you know, because of what's going on. I broke my glasses this morning. Wow. I sat on them, my good glasses. So I got out my old glasses. And they help me a little, but mostly they make me dizzy. But anyway, if you want to turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, I guess I'm a, and Sandy kicked off the series last week because I just had a busy week. I had my 50th year high school class reunion. Oh, yo, you know, I mean, it was like Friday and Saturday, you know, and Sunday and all this whole big deal for the 50th reunion, which I'll tell you about later. But so we have this thing about of reframing. And in the book of Ephesians, if we want to go to the diagram that I drew. Here's my little drawing. Isn't that great? You never know us. I'm an artist. But here's our spiritual house, you know, and there's the family, you know, mom and dad, the kids. And, you know, that's sort of our reference for family, but we have a lot of blended families. We have a lot of different families. I know, you know, I don't want to exclude anybody, but when I'm thinking of family, because I'm a dad and I have seven kids, I always think, you know, mom, dad, and the kids, you know, so, you know, so, but here we are. And we have to change our thinking. So go to the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, and it says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." See, we have to change our ideas that we have to earn grace to get peace with God. The Apostle Paul is declaring it over you. It's already there for you. Grace and peace is there for you. And that's part of the revival that we're going through. The reformation of our thinking, the reframing. To me, reframing is just another word for revival. You know, this church is in revival, folks. Now, it may not be a Wesleyan revival, you know, it may not be the revivals that you have seen, you know, or read about. That's historical revival. We're in the midst of a revival, and I think most people who are in past revivals miss the present revival because they're looking for the past thing. And we're in the midst of change, aren't we? You know, I mean, we're having a speaker coming on Saturday night in a couple of weeks, okay, that's been touched by this new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Sandy's in. How many are in? How many are in? I'm all in. I'm telling you, I want more. I want more. I thank God we have a pastor that wants more, that's in, into it. And not saying we're going to just stay the same. We're not. See, they were on the cutting edge when the seeker sensitive thing was there. Remember the seeker sensitive thing where we had, you know, the great coffee and donuts in the theater? Wonderful time of ingathering of people, okay? But there, even Rick Warren's church, there's not a lot of juice on that thing anymore. He started it at, you know, but there's not a lot of juice. But there's a new thing that God's doing because of the generation that we live in. It says, "Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace. It's a declaration over your life. Grace and peace. It's not something you're earning because you're so good looking. You know, you have such great gray hair, you know, so that looks like, doesn't that look beautiful? I love the color of that hair, you know what I mean, for some reason. I got a hair joke, I'll tell you about it. We talked about it at the reunion, okay? We talked about it at the reunion. But nobody has hair. They all come up to me and look at me like this, you know. Oh, I'm sorry. You cut yours like that. You have plenty of hair. Right. But I mean, all these guys, you know, in their late 60s, you know, they've changed, you know. I'll tell it right now. So they come up to you and go, "You haven't changed a bit." And I go, "Wait a minute. I told this joke before I prayed." You know, which blew them all away because they thought, you know, they expected something different. But God's changing. Okay? And I said, "Has anybody come up to you and said, 'You haven't changed a bit'?" You know? And I said, "You see this hair? It used to be black." You know? This hair used to be black, right? Remember? I mean, they put a picture of you on your badge with how you used to look. You know? And I said, "There's two kinds of people in this room. Those with hair and those with money." And I said, "The guys with money have not offered to trade me for my hair." And then I picked on my friend. I said, "Oh, there's one guy who's got it all. He's got hair and money. That's my friend Don." So, you know, I mean, you had to break the ice, you know. You just had to break the ice with the people to get them disarmed. Because they all think they know what they're going to get from Christians. See, they all think they're going to get accusation, judgment, criticism. I was sitting, everybody told me, you know, that they're either looking for a church or they can't find a church. When they find out you're a minister, okay, well, what do you do for a living? You know, after they just swore up, you know, "What do you, I'm a minister." "Oh, I'm sorry." I said, "That's all right. Settle down. I'm retired." You know, you know, like I've never heard it before, right, John, at work? Oh, you know, I mean, at Judy's work, they decided because Judy was a Christian, you know, they were going to have a swear jar. You know how long that lasted? I mean, the thing was overflowing with money. You know what I mean? Come on, they're not going to stop, folks. We got to love them. We just got to love them, you know. The guy at the table, he says, "Well, why would I want to go to church and be damned to hell?" That's exactly what this is. An intelligent person who thinks he knows what he's going to get when he goes to church. Grace and peace to you. That's what we want to pour out on people. Grace and peace. We want to declare over their lives, over our neighbors. Grace and peace to you. Why? Because it's over our house. Grace and peace is a covering on your house, your spiritual house. It's not something you've earned. It's just been freely given. There's no barriers. That's what that peace means. It's eirene. It means no barriers between you and God. He is our eirene. He is our peace. The one who broke down every wall that's between us and God. We can enter in. The whole world could enter in by the blood of the Lamb to this house of grace and peace, and it can be over your life. But see, we have to reframe that, renew that. We have to bring that to people's attention. And that's what we're doing. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Spiritual blessing is ours. It's ours. It's not something we have to earn. He has blessed us. Without any effort of our own, He has blessed us. How many are blessed? We are so blessed. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful blessing we live in this country, in this nation. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. See, we're in this revival of understanding that it's not what we do that earns us blessing. It's not what we haven't done that earns us blessing. It's not what, it's grace and peace that He's bestowed. It's His love, the Father's love. All these messages that we've done for months have just linked it all together. Sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, all these messages that we have linked us together. So, you know, like if you miss a couple weeks, man, we'll fill you in. You know, we'll repeat. Blessing. Blessing is upon their house. The blessing is upon, there it is, right over there. It's the ceiling. You know, right above us, we can touch it. The blessings of God are upon our house, overflowing. You know, I'm friends with many in this church. Bob and Suzanne, the blessing that's upon their house. I just love to go there and just rest in that blessing. It's just, you know, it's such a blessing. Your homes are such a blessing. Your spiritual house. And you can be a blessing. You know, follow God and be a blessing. Be a blessing wherever you go. That's what he wants to know, that you didn't earn it. And you don't have to look at people to think that they need to earn it either. Blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The blessing is just pouring out upon us over and over and over again because he has chosen us. Now, Sandy, she talked about that. You know, she talked about he has chosen us. You are a chosen generation. Not that he just chose you into the kingdom to be his sons and daughters, but he has chosen you to be alive at this time. He has chosen you to experience the revival that we're in at this time and this hour to be a blessing to those around us. Not judge and criticize them and be just irate over their behavior and taken back by what they do. You know what I mean? Be frustrated and angry because God's not frustrated and angry. Amen. Thank you. He's not. He's not frustrated and angry. He just isn't. That's reframing our thoughts of God. And the best thing we can pass on to the next generation is a right idea of God. E.W. Tozer said that. And we put God in a box and we limit God and we pass on a negative idea of who God is. It's been done to the generation, this generation. Me sitting at that table, people talking about, I've been to 20 churches this year. Some girl said that. I've been to 20 churches and I can't find one that I feel comfortable in. Whew. Because it's in here. See, she has to love herself. She has to know, and she has to hear the message of love and grace and peace. I mean, if she goes and goes into a critical atmosphere of anger, frustration, and judgment, who wants that? That's work, isn't it? That's where we go to work, right? Anger, frustration, and judgment. How many people work in that place? You know what I mean? Oh, my gosh. Well, we need to change that place. We need to change that place. My born-again spirit will now allow me to be negative, critical, or judgmental. That doesn't mean I'm not. But my born-again spirit reminds me when I am. See, the Holy Spirit reminds me when I am. And in an instant, I hate when I do that. You know, I hate when I do that. But I want to be the most gracious person on the planet. This planet at this hour that we live in. So I need to be in an atmosphere at least, you know, a couple times a month of grace and mercy and praise and worship and in a community that is moving in that direction. Just moving in love, moving in that positive direction. So we have grace, we have walls of chosen. We understand that we're chosen. God chose us. Before, what does it say? Before the foundations of the world, we were in his mind. We were in God's mind for this hour. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is happy holiness, folks. This is joyful holiness. Joyful holiness. You know, I mean, just being around a whole bunch of a worldly people. I want to be the happiest person on the planet without booze or drugs. You know what I mean? I really joke, you know, because I when I was in high school, I was drinking, you know what I mean, and partying. And afterwards, everybody went to college, Ohio State, Ohio U. I went to all those schools. Northwestern. Okay. I went to all those schools on weekends. And we partied, you know? I mean, we partied. And all those guys, all my buddies who went to Northwestern, Ohio State, Ohio U, Miami, you know, Bowling Green, Kent, woo! You know? I mean, they're looking for the same Dave. I mean, we had a big party on Friday night, big party. You know, one of the guys did really well. He had a Ponderosa Ranch out there in Chardon, 180 acres with cows and horses and a party room. And he opened the whole place, the whole class. There's like almost 200 people there, fed everybody. Everybody's drinking and partying, you know. And I'm going, I'm high on Jesus. I didn't say it that way, you know. But I was just to be there, you know what I mean? Sober. It was great not to make a fool out of myself, you know? Not to be an idiot. Because some people can drink and do really well, you know. But that was not me. You know what I mean? And just to be there and to drive home. Oh my gosh, to drive home. Oh Lord, to drive home sober. How wonderful is that? I was driving here last Sunday. And I said, you know, it's been 35 years since I've had a drink. Woo! 35. I was astounded at that, you know, amount of time. And I was just listening to some Christian music from, you know, the revival days. Mercy is falling. Mercy is falling. You know, and I said, oh, this is so glorious, so wonderful to be free. So when we sang this morning, free, I never get over being free. No, never free. Totally free. That's why I shout free. I'm free. Because if you didn't know bondage, like I knew bondage, it's so great to be free. It's so great to be free. You know, it says, happy holiness. That's happy holiness based on a holy love, based on a holy relationship with God. I mean, it's like a marriage. It's just really like a marriage. I am faithful to one woman, okay? And God, she is faithful to me out of happiness, a happy holiness. That's what it's about. Happy holiness, not a bunch of rules, you know, not a bunch of rules and all that. I told Judy on Friday night, don't wait up for me. Don't wait up for me. I was home at 9:30. The next night I said, I'm staying out to 10. I'm staying out to 10. Oh my gosh. So anyway, so it says, he has predestined us to adoption. Okay, there's the next one. He has predestined us to adoptions as sons and daughters. Sandy could get up right now and just preach that message all over again. What we get as sons and daughters. I wrote them all down in my book. You know, what we get as sons and daughters, it's blessing and greatness. The same blessing of Abraham as adopted sons and daughters. All the blessings, if you haven't heard that message, get that message. All those points. What were some of the other ones? Were greatness and prosperity and children and generations. I mean, we get it all. That's our house. That's our house. Grace and peace and blessing. Chosen us. Adopted us. According to what? His good pleasure. This makes God happy. We serve a happy God. Do you know that? Oh, I want people to know that God. I want people to know that God and experience happy holiness and the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. I want it so much. It says, according to his good pleasure. Good pleasures. God, make him happy. This makes him happy. It says, it is my Father's good pleasure in Luke to give you the kingdom. This makes God happy. To give you everything that he has. Joy, peace, love, all the things that, you know, we think we have to work for and earn. It's his good pleasure just to pour them out on you. It's yours. It's yours. I want to pour it out on you. But we need the awareness of it. We need somebody telling us over and over again, just like we tell our kids over and over again. If I've told you once, I've told you 100 times. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh my goodness. We need a generation that knows that they know that they know that they're loved of God. Oh my goodness, how wonderful it is. You know, God, he's such a blessing, all the riches that he has made to abound towards us, overtake us. I'm jumping ahead. This is his good pleasure. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Oh, hallelujah. This is what makes you shout and dance and run. There are a couple times we were told to run this morning. I wanted to run around the room, you know what I mean? Oh, we're told to run. Oh, it makes us so happy to be in this place of blessing, the richness of God. It says to praise and glory of His grace, which He has made us acceptable in the beloved. We are the beloved of God. You know what I've always wanted to do? Get tattooed beloved right across my forehead. You know what I mean? Well, I probably get it like Bob. You know, Bob has a tattoo. I'm telling stories now. He has grace in Greek, right? We're up in Louisville on a weekend with Doug and Rhonda, and Bob went and got a tattoo. I was shocked. <You know? laughs> But, I mean, he feels so strongly about this, you know. And Suzanne's getting one, too. Yeah. Oh. Accepted in the beloved. We're accepted. This is the place of acceptance, folks. Not, you know, us four no more. You know, not just a few of us. And I want everybody to know this. Do you know that? So I was praying. You know, I was praying. And I know this is a nice little group. You know, I don't know how many are in here. And then I go to the house of prayer on Sunday night sometimes, a couple times a month, and I preach. And there's, you know, usually 10 or 15 people in that room, you know. And I got this message of grace and love and acceptance that we're accepted. And I said, God, I want more people to hear it. I want more people to hear it. I want bigger crowds. You know how that is. You know, because nobody likes, it's not about numbers, but nobody likes to preach to empty chairs. I mean, wouldn't it be great if this place was packed and we were giving the message for the first time to those people how much God loves them? I mean, they would be astounded because most of them never heard it. So I'm praying. And the reunion comes up, and so they said, well, there's two nights. One night's $5, you know, at the guy's Ponderosa, because he was feeding everybody. And the other one is $85 at the Hilton. You know what I mean? $85, exactly. Now, you're in my generation. You know, $85. So, you know, I didn't sign up. So they call me, all right? And they said, Dave, we want you to be there. So we're paying your way. And we want you to do the invocation. And I go, great, I want to be there. What's an invocation? You know. So, you know, I go there. And the room is packed. You know what I mean? I mean, there it is. You know, almost 300 people in the Hilton, you know. And I get up and I told my hair joke. And it broke them in a little bit. And then I said, and God really told me this, I said, I don't want anybody bowing their heads. I want everybody to look at one another in the table. I said, there's the blessing tonight. I said, the blessing is in these marriages. The blessing is in these friendships. The blessing is in these families that you have. The blessing that's gone out, the blessing that you've been to your generation, the blessing is there in what you've done in this hour. The blessing is in you that God has done for all of us in this room. Now let's pray, looking at one another. Oh, Heavenly Father, most gracious God, thank you. Whew. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I can't even tell you how many emails I've gotten about that prayer. I mean, I can't tell you how many. I talked to a guy the other day and said, I wish I had it on tape. It was the most beautiful prayer ever. A lady came up to me and said, I cried when I heard that prayer. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And God reminded me right there. You wanted more people? There they are. And I didn't even get it. You know what I mean? I was thinking thousands. But anyway. I mean, there it is. There it is. God wants you to be a blessing. But first, you have to know that you're beloved. And the blessing is upon your household. No matter what. Just like that hymn writer that lost so much but understood the grace of God and the goodness of God and the plan of God for his life. Let's close somewhere. Oh. Happiness, joy, peace. In Ephesians 4:23. Ephesians 4:23. It says, and be renewed. I want you to be revived this morning. I want you to reframe your whole idea of what your spiritual house looks like and for you and your family. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, repentance means to change your mind. That's exactly what it means. It means to change your mind. And we need to change our minds about who we are as sons and daughters of the living God and what he's done for us and what we can do. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man. All things new. See, that night when I prayed, I was a brand new man and they knew it. It came through. It wasn't the old Dave, you know. I mean, they were astounded. They were astounded at the new man. And he just brought me into a place where I could be a blessing and to a bigger audience. And that's what he wants to do for you. He wants to be you to be a blessing at home, at work, wherever you are, in your community, at the grocery store, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Change your mind that you put on the new man which he has created according to God in true righteousness and true holiness, not piety. Because no one takes a pious person seriously but himself. Have you seen it? Holier than thou. Religious. Religious is going down, folks. Religion is going down. Amen. Amen. You know, be renewed according to true righteousness and true holiness. Be reframed in your thinking. And that's what we're doing this morning. This is what we're doing for the rest of the month. So if you have any pull with your friends, you know, try to get them to come. And if they don't come, we're just going to ask you to take it to them. Because you are the message. So you are the message of true righteousness, true joy, and true holiness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.